conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clements, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clements, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
The Packers now 2-0. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers beat the Washington Commanders 27-18 thanks to some outstanding play by the Packers defense, safety Xavier McKinney, on how they shut down last year's Rookie of the Year, quarterback Jaden Daniels.
The pass rush was relentless. I think we did a great job, not only just rushing, but containing him as well. You know, those things, you know, all together helped us, because even when sometimes he did get out of the pocket, everybody swarmed. So, like, it really didn't mean much. He didn't really get nowhere.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers play the Crimson Tide. It's the first time ever the two teams have played together in Alabama. Kickoff set for 11 a.m. Danny O'Neill expected to start again at quarterback for the Badgers. Number 19th ranked Alabama is a 21-point favorite. Baseball tonight in Milwaukee. The Brewers opening a three-game weekend series against the St. Louis Cardinals. The Brewers still have the best record in baseball with a 5.5-game lead over the Cubs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. When not trying to push her bathwater soap on lonely men or selling her good jeans, Sid Sweeney does a little acting. The Sidster will play a boxer in the upcoming film Christy, based on the real life of boxer Christy Martin. Born in small town West Virginia, Christy Martin realized at a young age she was a good puncher and capitalized on that skill to become the best female boxer of the 90s. Despite not being released yet, the film has had a few eyes on it and is currently pulling a 61% on Rotten Tomatoes. Actor Joel Kinnaman is not a household name, but he has a solid fan base, and he seems perfect for a good crime story. So it's no surprise he is the choice to play the lead role in a new crime drama called Bishop. According to Deadline, Kinnaman plays Bishop Graves, a weathered, experienced detective who chases a killer preying on San Francisco's elite, only to find out that the crimes have a connection to his own father. The series is currently in development at Amazon MGM. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Civic Media is your spot for sports. From updates on your favorite teams, live broadcasts of the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, and Bucks, and local sports coverage in your community, we've got everything you need. Find a station near you at civicmedia.us or download the free app today. We'll have more news and talk coming up here on Civic Media's stream.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
News, talk, community, and local sports. Thanks for listening to Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we got a jam-packed show here. We have a special guest, and this is a special show because we have a lot of things to cover here, and we're going to have Rachel Dion Thunder on here in just a second. I just want to remind everyone tomorrow on Saturday, November 13th, 2025, our walk team, Team AM 950, will join hundreds of other teams supporting Minnesota Recovery Connection Walk for recovery on the grounds of the Minnesota State Capitol. So be there, be square. If you can't be there, get on their website and donate. This is a fundraiser for a good cause, and as you probably know by listening to the show that I have over 40 years of sobriety from drugs and alcohol, and I wouldn't be able to do it without organizations like this and people that are going to be there. There's going to be thousands of people at the Capitol rallying for sobriety. So we'll see you there tomorrow, and that's 10 to 3, and I'll be there at 9:30 stretching because, you know, I'm old and I need to stretch, and need to stretch for any kind of walk. So I'll see you guys there. Hey, Rachel, thank you so much for coming on. Rachel Thunder with Indigenous Protectors Movement. There's a lot of things to talk about today, but I know you were at a press conference today that I could not make, and I just have to give a shout out to my Nona, rest in peace, and it was great to see all my relatives in the White Way, my auntie passed away, and her funeral is today. So I just want to give a shout out there to my family, and it was great. It's hard, but it's great to see people come all the way from Iowa and Wisconsin to celebrate this great woman's life. She was 88 years old. So I would have been there, Rachel, if I wouldn't have had another commitment. But it's great to see you. Thanks for coming on. We're going to do a whole show here. Maybe we can start from the beginning of who you are for people that are just tuning in for the first time or like me, kind of have some timers. Sometimes I remember and sometimes I forget. But Rachel, again, welcome.
Thank you, Robert. And prayers to you and your family and to your auntie's journey. Sorry to hear that. But, you know, family comes first. That's what Frank would always tell us, you know, when things would come up. You know, for family or things that we have to be at, like with our loved ones, that comes first because those are the things, those, our family, our people are the reason that we even do what we do to begin with. So yeah, no apologies necessary. So I do want to start first by saying, I want to wish happy birthday to Leonard Peltier. I think he turned 81 today. And so it's his first birthday free in 50 years, which is, I hope he had a beautiful day.
Me too. I'm glad you brought that up. That's in my notes too. Go ahead. You're reading my mind, but it was great. And you got to see him when he came home too. I was I was full of FOMO because I thought the family would want to be them with alone, but it was a big celebration, and I went, "Geez, no one told me."
We were actually supposed to go visit him like 2 weeks ago. We were gonna go visit and just get to talk and help him out with a couple of things there at his house, but then baby got sick. She had an ear infection, and so she's the main character, and so we canceled our flights to Minot, and we're gonna reschedule to go visit with Leonard. So but I did see recently he got to go to Mayo Clinic, which is something that he's been talking about a lot, is going to Mayo Clinic so he can get some work done on his eyes and get his eyesight back so that he can start painting again. He wants to start painting in his garage. So I'm really glad that he got to go do that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And he is a great painter. I have a few of his prints myself, and that's going to be great. And we always got to remember Grandma Moses didn't start painting until she was 70. So Leonard's way ahead of her.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess I'll introduce myself. You know, like on Res Dogs, that one episode, he's like, I'm going to say a few things before I say something. So
he was from the dinosaur clan, wasn't he?
the dinosaur Oyate. So I'll just say Tansay, hello. My name is Rachel Dion Thunder. I'm Plains Cree, Nihiwak, Big Stone Cree Nation, Treaty 8. Currently living here in South Minneapolis. I am American Indian Movement, second generation, and I'm also one of the co-founders of the Indigenous Protection Movement, and I'm currently serving as the vice president.
Very cool. And also, one of the things too, before we get deep into what we're going to talk about with the, because this will be a whole show, I want to give Sage in the City a big shout out for episode 2. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that and where people can hear our young ones speak their truth.
So, Sage in the City is a youth podcast that is sponsored by the Indigenous Protector Movement through our internship program that we have with IPTF, which is the Indigenous People's Task Force. And so our two youth interns, Bear and Savannah, the second episode of their podcast, Sage in the City, is now live. You can watch it on YouTube. You can listen to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and I think this episode is titled A Timeline to the Cities, and they look at the timeline of boarding schools and then the relocation era, and then tying that into when AIM started like Red Schoolhouse and the survival schools. And they have guest Elder Jerry Dearley on as a guest. He taught, I think, at Heart of the Earth and Red Schoolhouse, and is a wealth of knowledge. So he's the guest on the second episode.
He also taught at Harding High School at the end of his career, because Red Schoolhouse, I believe, closed in 96, and he was the Lakota Dakota teacher in St. Paul Public Schools, and he came to Harding every morning and taught that class until Barry Hand took over for him. And it's funny, he's retired, but he said he's busier than ever, and I can believe that. Oh, wow.
I see him everywhere I'm at, and I know I'm busy, so he has to be very busy. So, like, it was a big honor to have him to be able to come onto the show, and I know it meant a lot to our interns, too.
Yeah, that's great to hear this knowledge and the stories and the things that he's gone through. And I've had opportunities over the years to hear about him and the Red Schoolhouse. I think somebody like me should do a documentary on that, because that was an amazing thing that happened in the city.
I think that would be a great thing for you to do, Robert. That would be an amazing thing for you to do.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. While the people are still alive, that like Jerry and the students, and shoot, I mean, if you graduated in 96, you're close to, you're over 40, I think. So, you know, mm-hmm. I think, I don't know. Yeah. I didn't teach math.
And then they actually just wrapped up filming the third episode. So the third episode is currently being edited and will be coming out here in the next couple of weeks, and that episode is focused on MMIR.
Wow, that's beautiful. That is mm-hmm. beautiful. Hey, I'm here with Rachel Dion Thunder, Indigenous Protectors Movement, and it was a great little intro. And now these next couple segments here, we're getting the meat and potatoes of what's going on here mm-hmm. in Minneapolis and nationally. And so mm-hmm. it's great to have you on, and we'll be right back after the short break. Ho-wah.
On view at Minneapolis Institute of Art, artist Mary Sully was a visionary ahead of her time. Born on Standing Rock Reservation, she worked in near obscurity between the 1920s and 1940s, creating intricate, vividly colored drawings that blend Dakota heritage with modern life. Now on display at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, experience the first solo exhibition featuring Mary Sully's work only at MIA until September 21st, and always free to visit. Learn more at artsmia.org.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGDI. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGDI.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Greg Bakken here. Like you, I love good, fresh, delicious food. So I want to tell you about this treasure in Roseville called Maverick's Real Roast Beef. Maverick's has the best roast beef sandwiches I've ever had, made fresh every order. Add fries or onion rings dropped in the fryer when ordered, and you have a winning combination. Maverick's Real Roast Beef has a lot more than roast beef, so check out their website, mavericksbeef.com, or check out their restaurant on Lexington in Roseville.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, yeah, welcome back, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. And again, happy birthday to Leonard Peltier. And one of the things, if you do listen to the show, you know that we always ended the show with Free Leonard Peltier. And in the background, I have an old shirt from the 70s hanging up here, you know, it's a great thing. And I know Rachel Dion Thunder, who our guest is, we really got more and more involved with that, because she got involved and she did the walk to Washington, D.C., and it was fun because we had updates on your walk and how it was going, and then I got to see you. It was the same time I got to see you in Washington, D.C. at the end of your walk, but it was also the Supreme Court was doing a hearing on ICWA, so it was mm-hmm. it was crazy, a lot going on. And again, thank you for being on, and welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. I would just the timing worked out on that. Like, we were like, if we get to D.C. in time for the opening arguments of ICWA, that's great, we'll go. And if we don't, it's okay. And we did. We just got there. And so we're like, let's go. And then we run into you. So, no, that was really cool. But yeah, do you want to kind of dive into what we were going to talk about today?
Yeah, let's talk about the press conference and really what led up to the press conference, I think, is is really.
Yeah, we can start there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm sure that a lot of the listeners for your show, for Native Roots Radio, are very politically aware individuals. And we're just going to assume that, but that's who the audience is. So, you know, everybody has like a magnifying glass, a lens on this administration that we're currently experiencing, that we're navigating. And with that, all of the increase of federal law enforcement through ICE, and, you know, that at a national level really came here to Minneapolis kind of in a tricky way, I'll say, like on June 3rd. And so on June 3rd, there was a federal task force of FBI, ATF, ICE, HSI, that served a warrant at several locations here in Minneapolis for criminal activity, you know, for like pretty serious crimes. But what really transpired that day was there was this raid of businesses. And so one of the locations specifically was on Lake in Bloomington here in South Minneapolis at the Build Tacos Not Walls location. And Minneapolis, the city of Minneapolis, had in the past declared that Minneapolis was a sanctuary city as far as like immigration raids, and that MPD, that the Minneapolis Police Department, would not be collaborating with ICE. And so that was kind of like the stance, not kind of, that was the stance taken by the city of Minneapolis. And then on June 3rd, this task force came, but it was kind of, I don't know, I feel like they did a sleight of hand because, you know, MPD said, well, you know, we weren't collaborating with ICE, we were collaborating with this task force, and ICE just happened to be a part of this task force. So it's my interpretation that there was this like legitimate raid happening with this warrant being served for criminal activity, which is true, right? And like, there's raids that happen here all the time, Robert. Nobody stops them, right? That happens all the time. Drug busts, you know, raiding houses, nobody tries to interfere. And I do believe that if that day it had just been a raid, it would have played out differently. But what ended up happening was ICE, like masked up, like the stereotypical ICE agents, you see masks, no identifying badges, no numbers that you can, like agency numbers where you can, there's no like the credentials, you know, on these so-called officers were not there. And so you had, because I was there, so you had like the FBI and ATF serving this warrant, acting out this warrant, and then ICE was just kind of like there on the corner, standing there, like with their arms crossed, like staring at everybody. And it was very confusing to community because like nobody really knew what was going on, because like they see there's this raid happening. There's a huge militarized police presence. There was like Humvees. And then you had ICE there. And so there was like this assumption happening that there was the warrant being served, but also that there was an ICE raid happening in like at the same time.
Were the Minneapolis police, was the Minneapolis police there too? Because I know he was quoted about protecting the protesters, and I was just like, are you kidding me? Was he there already or later?
When I got there, there was Minneapolis Police Department there. They had like yellow tape, like taping off that area around that restaurant, and nobody was crossing the tape. I'll say nobody crossed the tape, and Minneapolis Police Department officers were there standing at the tape, like making sure that nobody would cross it. And so And the ICE agents, the ICE guys, like with their masks and stuff, were inside that boundary. And so so what you had was these MPD officers, even though I'm not going to say like they're collaborating, but they're like literally standing there on the street protecting and like putting a barrier between community and the ICE officers. It didn't seem to me like it was happening the other way around. So then what happened is they served their warrant. They went in the business. They got a bunch of boxes and papers. I didn't see them take anybody out, but there was a lot of people and there was like a lot of things happening. So I can't say that didn't happen. And then when that stopped, like kind of like that barrier got taken down and ICE had these like vans, these like they're like, you know, like those unmarked vehicles that they have. And people thought that they had taken somebody or taken individuals in those vehicles. And then that was when community started trying to like block those vehicles from leaving. I didn't see the chief of police there at that time. I saw him come towards the end when like the militarized presence had gotten out of the area. He kind of like was there in the aftermath walking down Lake Street. And like I got pepper sprayed that day and I was just kind of standing back filming and documenting the whole thing. But I did, and I have it like on video. There was a lot of times like federal officers and ICE agents would like have zero patience for community. Like somebody that wasn't even trying to physically stop them, like accidentally kind of just got in the way, like with their umbrella, and they grabbed, cause it was pouring rain too. So they grabbed their umbrella and they like smashed their umbrella and like shoved them out of the way. And I saw them, you know, grabbing people, holding them down, like people who were like very vocal and like verbalizing their opposition to like what was going on and that ICE was not welcome in this community. People, you know, people were being grabbed, shoved to the ground, being maced, shot with rubber bullets, shot with like the, what are those, like the pepper spray rounds, you know, like those little pepper bullets or whatever they are. You know, and so there was like this, there was like an atmosphere of aggression, and it felt very aggressive, like from this, from these, all of these policing agencies that were there. And I'll be honest, MPD was just kind of there and I felt like they didn't even really know like what to do. Like they were kind of like at a loss for words. You know, and I felt like they were kind of maybe in a tough situation. And I don't think that they were like told exactly what was happening and that ICE was going to be there. I do believe that they kind of thought that it was just going to be another raid, just like any, you know, other raids being served in the city and warrants being served. And then ICE just piggybacked on, because it's my personal belief that ICE and this administration wanted to test the waters here in Minneapolis and see what the response from community and the people would be. And I do, I believe that it was like strategically timed, and like, look at what's happening in DC, in Chicago, in LA. And I think they were testing the waters here to see like what the public's reaction would be like.
I agree.
And now like, and then now, like, you know, you see this narrative being spun like in the press where, you know, they hang on to like that this was like a federal task force serving a warrant for a raid for criminal activity, which is true, right? But let's not forget the fact that ICE was also there and ICE piggybacked onto this raid and really like brought a lot of violence and fear to a community in the heart of the immigrant community of Minneapolis.
It was unbelievable to watch that live streaming. And it was, I was also really proud to see so many people there. Including yourself. This is going to be an unbelievable story. Please stay with us. I'm here with Rachel Dion Thunder.
Thanks for listening. Your spot for local sports coverage is Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clements, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their communities dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
The Packers now 2-0. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers beat the Washington Commanders 27-18 thanks to some outstanding play by the Packers defense, safety Xavier McKinney, on how they shut down last year's Rookie of the Year, quarterback Jaden Daniels.
The pass rush was relentless. I think we did a great job not only just rushing but containing him as well. You know, those things, you know, all together helped us, because even when sometimes he did get out of the pocket, everybody swarmed. So, like, it really didn't mean much. He didn't really get no worse.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers play the Crimson Tide. It's the first time ever the two teams have played together in Alabama. Kickoff set for 11 a.m. Danny O'Neill expected to start again at quarterback for the Badgers. Number 19th-ranked Alabama is a 21-point favorite. Baseball tonight in Milwaukee. The Brewers opening a three-game weekend series against the St. Louis Cardinals. The Brewers still have the best record in baseball with a 5.5-game lead over the Cubs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Superman and Lex Luthor teaming up together? What is this world coming to? Before you know it, cats and dogs will be living together. Variety has announced that the sequel for this summer's hit Superman is in motion. If you thought the first one was a spectacle, the follow-up promises an even bigger nemesis will face off against the unlikely duo. James Gunn's Superman, starring David Corenswet, made $613 million worldwide and was a big first swing for the DC Universe, a company where Gunn currently serves as co-CEO. James Gunn says the sequel will be as much a Lex Luthor film as it will be a Superman film. The director says he loved working with Nicholas Holt, who played Luthor, and really identified with the Luthor character. Yikes. A couple other tidbits from Gunn's Superman world. The director says Supergirl, starring Millie Alcock, is on the schedule to be released in 2026. Superman, A Man of Tomorrow, will start filming in 2026 and be released in 2027. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This Civic Media station is currently broadcasting the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks over the air. Due to streaming restrictions, we can't provide you the broadcast here. You can find an affiliated station at civicmedia.us to find the game over the air. We'll also have updates on the game and the biggest sports news from Mike Clemens daily on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We are here with our friend Rachel Dion Thunder with Indigenous Protectors Movement, one of the co-founders. And it says that you are the vice president. I really think you're the president, so I'm just going to introduce you that way.
Crow's the president. Crowbell is the president.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought your husband was, so I thought.
No. My husband's on the board, so no. Crow's the president, and I'm the vice president. And then Issa is actually our cultural arts and organizer for IPM.
Well, we have a compelling story that you're telling, and I was watching it over Facebook, and I was amazed, one, that a lot of people were able to be there. It was, if I remember, it was raining. It was early in the morning or late morning, and I was like, what the heck is going on here? And so my Facebook feeds were blowing up, and it's great to hear, really, with you boots on the ground, what happened and what's happening right now. So welcome back. And keep on telling this really intense story.
Yeah, for sure. So pretty quickly, word spread through community that ICE was here. It was like, that was the message kind of being shared around. And so a lot of people went there really to just to document and to see for themselves. And if you were there, you saw like ICE was here, you know, and they left. And then there was like kind of like a small protest that happened there afterwards. I left. I actually left because I had gotten mace like in my eyes and breathed it in. So I had left to go home to take a shower and change. But you know what, really, after that day, you know, because it instilled so much fear in community. It instilled fear into, like, obviously the immigrant community, but also just, you know, we were thinking, it's just like, you know, when are they coming back? That this was just like the first test that they're going to be back, because we're seeing like what's happening in LA, we're seeing like now what's happening in DC. And so, like, that is kind of more what the fear was. There was never a fear that one of us was going to be in trouble for what happened that day, because it didn't even cross our minds that anybody had done anything wrong. You know, we had just been there to record and be present and kind of be witness to see, like, the... 'cause, you know, they were really being rough. Those federal officers were being really rough with a lot of community members.
Right.
And so, you know, about a week or so passed, and we were kind of like strategically planning, you know, an art build and, you know, trying to build a narrative in the media around that ICE is not welcome in Minneapolis, and really reinforcing that through city council and looking specifically, like, you know, at the, you know, how Minneapolis had made the statement or said that, you know, that MPD was not going to be cooperating with ICE, that that needs to now include task force because we found this loophole where they can come into community. And so we were honestly kind of blindsided. Issa Fella Lopez, who's one of our employees at IPM, she's a community member. She is an artist. She's a poet. She does a lot of spoken word poetry. She's gotten to travel all around the world with that. I think she's performed in Dubai. I know this year she just traveled to New York City and read a poem at the National Writers Guild Gala in New York City. So, you know, she's very loved, and she was actually going to do an interview in downtown St. Paul. We were at work, and she was like, I'm going to go do this interview. And she's like, what do you think? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I think you should do it. Just be careful. You know, and so she left. And then the next thing I knew, I was getting phone calls that these people in these vans had taken Issa. Wow. And I was like, she was just here. And so at first, like, my first thought was like, that ICE had taken her. And then, you know, we were able to like track her phone, like through like the sharing location.
Mm-hmm.
And she was taken to Sherbourne. And so we know that federal cases go to Sherbourne.
And how far is that from St. Paul?
It's just like, it's north. It's like outside the city. It's like in the suburbs. So okay. Maybe an hour. And yeah. So we, when that was like our first hint at like what was happening. And as like the next hours unfolded, we found out that the feds were charging her with multiple felonies regarding that day that ICE came to Minneapolis on June 3rd. And so that kind of really, that brings us to present day. She was held, I believe, for 4 days. And then she was released at her first hearing. After her first hearing, she pled not guilty to all of her federal charges. We were able to secure her a really good lawyer, Jordan Kushner. He's represented folks up at Line 3. Mm-hmm. He represented Mike Forsha when everything was going on with City Council. And I think that he's just a really good brain and a really good lawyer. And I think that he understands the political climate that we're in and how to navigate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, collaborating with him, and really there's this ugly narrative, and this is what happens every time, right, Robert? Like, over the years, this is just what they do, is that they don't tell the story of us as people, as community mm-hmm. members. They spend this negative light on us, that we're not just protesters, that we're like these radical activists or even terrorists. You know, a lot of AIM mm-hmm. members have been called terrorists in the past, and they're trying to paint Issa as like this hardened like criminal okay. that was interfering with the federal government. And you know, if you know Issa, you just know that that is not true. You know, she's literally like, she's like 5'3", like
right.
100 pounds soaking wet. Like, I don't think that she was going to stop, like physically stop anybody that day, you know?
I was going to say that. And talking to her and knowing a little bit of her, she's too smart to fall into that. She's a very smart person, as you mentioned, you know, her poetry and an artist and things like that. So what are they saying that she did? And I mean, that's the bizarre thing.
Yeah. So there's 4 charges, 2 assault, 1 interference. Yeah. And so recently they offered her a plea deal. And so today, just to bring it full circle here.
Uh-huh.
Today we held a press conference in front of the federal courthouse downtown Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Issa was there, I was there, I spoke, Issa's lawyer spoke, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Members from MIRAC, the Minnesota Immigrants Rights Action Committee, spoke.
Cool.
And Homegirls for Issa, which is kind of like this group of just supporters for Issa, was there organizing. So we were supporting them really as IPM today. But the main point of the press conference today was that she was offered a plea deal.
Mm.
And the plea deal that they offered her is to plead guilty to the interference charge, and that they would drop all the other charges and serve 8 to 14 months.
What?
And if she does not take the plea, then they are going to follow with going ahead with all of the charges for max sentencing of 57 months. for a nonviolent being present at a protest. where community is being attacked.
There's video of her, right? There's information out there. They can't get away with this.
Exactly. And so today at the press conference, the whole point was that officially announce that she is not taking the plea deal, that she is taking this to trial, and that really, in reality, if anything, if they're going to charge her with anything, give her a misdemeanor. Nobody got hurt. Mm-hmm. No one was injured. No federal agent was injured that day. And that really, really what they're trying to do here is intimidate not only her, mm-hmm. but the entire movement. The entire mm-hmm. movement that is building, in opposition to this current administration.
Right.
To federal raids by ICE. Mm-hmm. By families being broken up by this administration's policies, to the atmosphere of violence that this administration seeds into communities. Mm-hmm. There's very violent things happening nearly every day. And I firmly believe that a lot of that is because of this atmosphere that this administration creates.
Absolutely.
And so that's the message that they're trying to send. They're trying, because that's what they do, right? That's what mm-hmm. this administration's tactics are. They use intimidation. They use fear. They use control to try and scare people, communities, and movements into not resisting, to not opposing, to not standing up against these atrocities. And they're trying to make an example out of Issa. She's the only one out of anybody that was charged that day.
Unbelievable. Hey, we are here with Rachel Dion Thunder, Vice President of an Indigenous Protectors Movement, and we're talking about our relative here and what's happened. And I think we'll talk a little bit more about that and maybe even what the solution is. And I always like what we can do action-wise here to our listeners. So, hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGD.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
On view at Minneapolis Institute of Art, artist Mary Sully was a visionary ahead of her time. Born on Standing Rock Reservation, she worked in near obscurity between the 1920s and 1940s, creating intricate, vividly colored drawings that blend Dakota heritage with modern life. Now on display at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, experience the first solo exhibition featuring Mary Sully's work only at MIA until September 21st, and always free to visit. Learn more at artsmia.org.
The place for live music is the Park Tavern. Live music takes over the Park Tavern's dog-friendly patio. Head over on Tuesday, September 16th, it's Colby Straka. Wednesday, September 17th, it's Meet Raffle Ska. And on Thursday, September 18th, it's The Gut Buckets. Music runs from 5:30 to 8 p.m. and reservations for groups of 8 or more are recommended. And the Park Tavern offers private and semi-private spaces for small and large groups on Louisiana Avenue north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park. Outdoor live music is on at the Park Tavern.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Yeah, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we're here with Rachel Dion Thunder, Vice President of Indigenous Protectors Movement, and we're really talking about some injustice here. And I always like when we get done with your thoughts here, I always like a call to action for our listeners and people watching us on YouTube, Facebook, and Blue Sky. Continue, please.
Okay. Yeah. So today, you know, we held a press conference, and we had that in front of the federal courthouse in downtown Minneapolis, because that is where her hearing and trial is going to be taking place. Mm-hmm. And so today we got a little taste, I think, of what we can expect into the future. So we did not get a permit today. I've never gotten a permit to organize down there. And you know, today I don't know if they did it because we were organizing this. Her lawyer kind of suspects, but they were on, what did they say? It was like heightened security for the courthouse today.
Oh, geez.
And so when we showed up and we were setting up, one of the court security officers came out and told us, you know, that we could do the press conference, or we were allowed to do that because it was our freedom of speech, but that we could not have any of the flags or the banners or the signs. And
what?
And I was like, okay, well, you know, we are having a press conference, but also part of what we're doing today is ceremony. Like, we're gonna have prayer, Carl's gonna sing a song. You know, a lot of these flags that we have are not like political. They're, I would argue, more ceremonial, and mm-hmm. it's our right to do that, to have that here. You know, and then the lawyer actually stepped in and he said, you know, show me the policy, the court policy that is going to require, you know, that requires all of these things. And the U.S. Marshals like had to convene inside, and then they came back out and they were like, well, by the time we like go find that and pull it out, your thing's going to be done. And we're like, well, we're just going to do it. And so that's what we did. Right. So if you see the pictures and stuff, we still have the flags and the banners the signs. So I think that we can expect more of that into the future. Upcoming, you know, on the 29th of September is Issa's first hearing there at the courthouse, at the federal courthouse in downtown Minneapolis. So at 8 a.m. that morning on the 29th, we're going to have a prayer, we're going to have pipe ceremony there outside the courthouse. We're going to have singers, and then the kapuli is going to come. The dance troupe is also going to come and dance there for the ceremony, like before the court hearing. And so the court hearing is then at 9, and we're putting a call out to pack the courthouse for that hearing. And then immediately following the hearing around 10 a.m., we're going to host an immediate press conference outside to update all of the press and the people about what happened in the court hearing and kind of any updates on the case at that time. So we're definitely asking for people to plug in, show up. If you can't show up, then like share these flyers and these details on your socials. You know, it's all going to be on Indigenous Protector Movement and on MIRAC's page, the Minnesota Immigrants Rights Action Committee. So you can find those flyers all on there. And then this Sunday, there's actually a panel discussion at George Floyd Square from 2 to 4. If you want to come listen in and kind of listen to some bright minds, really, you know, break down this, the current atmosphere that we're living in politically. And then starting at 6, there's a concert, a community concert that's free to attend. Jada Brown's going to be performing. 2 for 1's going to be performing. And so that's all right there at George Floyd Square. And there's flyers online for that as well, Robert.
Wow. Well, I'm going to have you on a couple more times before that, too, or you or your husband, and promote this and keep this in the forefront, because that is what we call a call to action. And that's one thing I know you and the Indigenous Protectors Movement is well organized, and I appreciate that. Because I'm not organized.
And I think that, you know, looking into the future too, strategically, you know, IPM is working on an event in collaboration with the Minneapolis American Indian Center for Indigenous Peoples Day. So they're hosting a powwow. And I think that we're going to host what we're calling is an Indigenous Rights Freedom Rally in the parking lot, like immediately before. So you can come and attend the rally and then go to the powwow.
Well, I think the timing's good, too, that we could probably even be live there via radio show, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're trying to get some horses. We'd like to have some horse medicine there that day.
Oh, God, that would be great. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you a quick story. I was at Wounded Knee Celebration about 3 years ago, and Madonna Thunderhawk came galloping by on a horse, and she was like 79 at the time. I just have to say that. Yeah, no helmet, no nothing, all in control. And I just I remind her that every time I see her. I go, oh my God.
I recently got to go horseback riding, and we're getting ready to take the whole group of the Women's Warriors Society. We're getting ready to go horseback riding this fall, so I'm really excited about that. Yeah, I love horse medicine.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, they say too that they were brought here, but there's proof that the horses are from here too. So
they
try to erase us, and then they like our stuff. They like to wear our clothes and steal our designs, but they don't want the trauma.
They like to hear our stories, as long as they're not negative, painting them in a negative light, as long as they're not the truth about what happened. They want the romanticized versions.
So do you have, I know you have a Facebook, so do you have a website or where people can follow you, or is it pretty much Facebook?
So Indigenous Protection Movement has Facebook, we have Instagram, and we have YouTube, and we have a website. It's indigenousprotectionmovement.com. And you can go on there and see more about how we started, what we're doing, where we're going, all of our programs that we run, you know, Women's Warriors Society, our community safety programs and initiatives that we support, like Mini Shields. You know, different events that we host, everything is on there. And if you want to donate too, you can donate on the Facebook page. There's a button on there, and you can also donate on our website.
Well, this is a huge thing, and I saw somebody painted a picture of her on a poster. I think that would be a great t-shirt with a little resist underneath, and free her, you know. That was awesome. I just can't say enough about, you know, I feel like I missed out on the American Indian Movement just because of my age. I got the tail end of that. I mean, you know, but having the Indigenous Protectors Movement is really, you guys are doers. You're picking up the baton that they set for us and generations ahead. And I just can't say enough about the great work that you guys are doing, and especially you.
Thank you, Robert. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just what you do. It's just what you do. And AIM is it's a way of being, it's a way of life. It's a spirit of resistance. You don't have to wear a patch. You don't have to have an AIM shirt on. I mean, you can if you want to, it's pretty cool, but you don't have to, you know, you don't have to declare to the world that you're an AIMster. You know, you can write grants, you can work for organizations. There's all kinds of ways to resist. You know, you don't always have to be boots on the ground. And I just think that there's a lot of people out there doing a lot of important work, and that's all AIM, you know, that's all American Indian Movement. That's all Red Power. Right. It's just what we do.
Absolutely. Well, Rachel Dion Thunder, Indigenous Protectors Movement, a big Pinagigi, thank you so much for coming on and speaking your truth, which is our truth. So thank you again.
Yeah.
Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and Brewers. Find your favorite team over the air on Civic Media.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clemens, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their communities dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.